Psalms 147, first verse. You got your Bible? You need your Bible. Would a carpenter go to work someplace without his hammer? Would he go to work someplace without his saw? Would he go to work someplace without his tape measure? No. This is our tool. Psalms 147, verse 1. You might want to keep your Bible open to Psalms, but nevertheless. Oh, on Wednesday nights, we're actually doing the Psalms. Yeah. We're not this far. I think we're only in Psalms 90. I'm way ahead. I'm going down for different directions all kinds of times. Psalms 147, though, this morning. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Father God, we do thank you for your love and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for Jesus most of all. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here this day, recognizing that this is Sunday. This is the first day of the week. This is Resurrection Day. We've come this day because Jesus has conquered death. He rose again the third day, that we might have confidence, be justified in what that great salvation sacrifice was. So be with us now as we look again at your word. We want to come before your throne. We want you to speak to our hearts. We want to gather us in, Lord. We might find your strength this day, because we're going to go out from this place today into a world of absolute, total chaos. There are no boundaries. There are no limits. There's no right, no wrong. There's no up, no down. Total chaos. We need to be that salt and light. So we need to be refueled. We need to be right in the very center of your will when we walk from this place today, that we might speak that good news to the people around us. Encourage them. Show them the way. Point them to Jesus. Father, even in this service this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'll work in every heart. Use this message, this word from you to touch hearts. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You probably don't know this, but Psalms 147, the first verse is a command. So you go back and do you get your commentary out and those kind of things. Go back and look and you'll see it's a command. So what is that verse? Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. That's not a suggestion. That's not a request. That is a divine command, an exhortation that God's people should every day in every way of our lives praise the Lord. Every worship service, we ought to be praising Him. But every day ought to be a worship service. Every hour ought to be a worship service. Every minute, every second ought to be a time to praise the Lord. Now I know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, because I'm one of you. And I recognize what happens, but it's still a command. And you know, in doing some research on this psalm, I found out something that it was surprising to me. I didn't know that was there. After I got to studying, I thought, oh yeah, I got it now. But at first, I didn't know that. The Bible puts more emphasis. Now listen, because you're going to go, I don't like that. But wait. The Bible puts more emphasis on praise than it does prayer. Whoa. Yeah. Now, we all know how important prayer is, and I'm not trying to minimize it in any way whatsoever. Matter of fact, it's vital. Nothing happens aside from prayer. Yet, praise is also emphasized. So, really, what we're supposed to be doing is praying and praising, and praising and praying, and praising and praying, and praying and praying. We should never get away from those two things. Those are the keys. Prayer, of course, changes us from within and the things without. Praise, though, centers our attitude completely upon God for the good things He has done, and He's always doing something good. And so praise is kind of the attitude adjuster of God. Now, I got this many, many years ago from Ellis Ryle, actually. He gave me this, and he said, "Preacher, here you need this." I thought when he gave me this that I was supposed to go around and go, "All right, get your attitude adjusted." So I thought at first, Ellis, okay, this might be good. You know, go around bopping people in the head. Let's get it right here. But then years and years later, as I looked at this thing, I finally realized that he gave it to me. Because I'm supposed to be, I'm not going to do that, bopping myself in the head. Getting my attitude right before the Lord. I thought about this in a certain sense. I thought about saying, last Wednesday was a real day for me. But then I realized that that's not the case. It really started last Sunday. And that's not the case. It really started the week before. That's not the case. It really started the month before. That's not the case. It really started the year before. That's not the case. It really started in 1948. When the doctor smacked me on my bottom. Bingo, it started. For me. I don't know when it started for you, but that's when it started for me. But last Sunday, I went around this way for some reason, and Rod and who else was out there? Rod, I can't think. Jim was out there, and Charlotte was out there with her car. And she couldn't get it to start. Now, somebody had a pair of jumper cables out there, and so we decided, well, okay, put the jumper cables on it and see if it'll start. Boom, it started right up. But I was a little concerned. I thought to myself, well, she might get home, turn the key off, and it'll be dead again. So the only place I knew to go that might be open on Sunday was over to Walmart at the garage over there. So we went from here, didn't we, Charlotte? Right on over there. We got the little guy to come out there with this little funny little thing, and he went, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and he, oh, that battery's good. It's charged. Well, I told Charlotte, I said, I don't know what it is, but don't turn it off till you get home. And Charlotte said, I think I'll just leave it in the driveway. Okay. So then I think I called you that afternoon and said something to her, and she said, well, I think I'll just stay home tonight. Won't fiddle with it. Okay. All right. So, Sunday, Charlotte's car wouldn't start. Now, that was not a big inconvenience for me. It was a slight one in the sense that I went over to Walmart, so I wouldn't have to go to Walmart. But it was mostly Charlotte's inconvenience. It was probably mostly stirring her heart up, right? She was thinking to herself, what's wrong with this car? Does it need a battery? If it does, I need to get a diehard. She already told me that. She didn't want no Walmart battery. She wanted a diehard. So that's. And then Wednesday, started out good, went to the Bible study. Went over and saw Lois Jean. I think I had a pleasant conversation, my wife and I. Good, that was great. Went over to Miller's then for the 1 o'clock Bible study. Rodney, me, and Dell are over there at 1 o'clock. And it started raining a little bit, didn't it, about that time. And so when we came out of the building over there, and we came towards State, there was some girl sitting there with some kind of a Chevy SUV. And I'm not trying to be, it could have been anything had a flat tire. I'm not just Chevy. It was a Chevy. It was a Chevy. It was just, you know. And it had a flat tire. So when I was pulling up there, I thought, oh, she's got a flat tire. And so I went around, came back, and said, can I help you? Because she was looking like she was trying to change the tire, fix the tire. And so she said, sure, that'd be fine. And so it's raining a little bit. She's got this funny looking little tire tool thing. She sticks it in the back of her, inside of her car, and she goes like this a little bit like that. And pretty soon we figure out she got to go the other way. And it lowers the little tire down, get the little tire off the little, it's a cable. It's hanging on a cable underneath the car. So we get that little tire off to the side. I take her little scissor jack. I look underneath that car to find the little place where that scissor jack is supposed to go. They must have saved 50 cents because they didn't have a spot marked. So I felt around under there, you put it on something, could be plastic, who knows. But I stuck the scissor jack under there, and of course you had to do a half a turn at a time. Oh gosh. And she said, I just right here on State and hit something, blew out a tire, and sure enough, there's a big old hole in the tire. Brand new vehicle, basically. Brand new tire, big hole in it. I'm jacking it up, trying to get it off the ground. So I think to myself, I think I got it high enough where I can pull the wheel off. And so I took the little tire tooth thing and put it on the lug nut. I did not go this way, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey. I couldn't get those lugs to move. Now, I thought to myself, So I took the lug wrench thing and put it on her lug, and I stood on the little wrench thing, and I grabbed her little car carrier on the top of her car, and I went, thinking, even with my little frail frame of 80 pounds, maybe I could move it. And it worked. Pop! All right. Got that one. Another one. Pop, snap, did it. Another one. Pop, snap, did it. Then I looked at the little wrench. It's not straight anymore. It's kind of like that. Oops. But you got to get it off, right? So I stuck it back on there. So we got the lug nuts off. Superman couldn't have got those lug nuts off. But we got them off. Okay? So then I realized, not quite high enough. So back to the half a turn at a time. Trying to get the tire off the ground. So I thought, I can, a little daylight under there. It's good. I grabbed it. It wouldn't move. It would not move. It wouldn't budge. So I kicked it. And I kicked it again. It would not budge. It would not budge. And I'm thinking to myself, I am soaking wet. This poor girl's been standing out there in the rain. She should have gotten a car. One of us should have been dry. But she says, hey, I might have roadside assistance. So I said, who can you call? She says, I'll call my husband. So she got on the phone. I've got roadside assistance. And so she called the roadside assistance people. And so they said about an hour and a half, we'll be out there or something like that. So I'm soaking wet. She's soaking wet. I'm thinking to myself, that was sort of a waste of time. I mean, the tires, the rim's still stuck. Can't get it off. I'm soaking wet. She's soaking wet. So I go home, take my clothes off, throw them in the dryer. I'm sitting on the couch. Put on a pair of shorts, sitting on the couch. Hadn't been there 15 minutes. My wife calls me. She says, I'm at Walmart. I've got groceries, but I can't pay for them. What? She says, I think I've lost my wallet or it's been stolen. I said, oh, no. She said, could you come over and get the groceries? All right. So I jump in the car, put a t-shirt on. I thought, Walmart's no shoes, no shirt, So put a shirt on, go over there. She's here, go down there. So I went down there and got the groceries. She says, I'm going to look around the store in case I dropped it in the store. You know what I'm thinking? If she drops that in the store, it's gone. But she said, I'm going to look around the store, whatever. So she does that, and she sends me home. I'm sitting at home. I put the groceries away, kind of. She griped about that when I got home. But anyway, put them away, kind of. It's been a half an hour. I'm thinking, if somebody picked up that stupid bank card, the little bit of money we could have is probably gone. So I got my computer out and dialed up the account. Hey, no new charges. That's good. Then I noticed Hey, there's not as much money in here as I thought there should be. Oh, we have one of those automatic deposit things. And so I searched up and down that little tally sheet, couldn't find that automatic deposit. So I'm thinking, oh no. She's went over there and spent $1 million on groceries. And now we didn't even get the check. They're supposed to be in the mail. Well, what happened to that? So I'm thinking, oh my, what should I do? Should I call up the bank and cancel that card thing? You know? Well, maybe I should work on this other thing for a minute and see if I can figure that out. Well, I'm not sure exactly, but I think my wife was born June 14, 1968. Or 48? 47, actually. And so she's supposed to get paid on the 14th. And I think what it is the first Wednesday after the 14th. But last Wednesday was the 14th, right? What's wrong with these government people? Don't they know what a calendar says? It's the 14th. If you're supposed to get paid on the Wednesday of the 14th, that was the day. But didn't get it. So I'm thinking to myself, oh man, we're really going to be messed up. And then I'm thinking, then now it's been about an hour. Somebody could have charged every little penny we had. He's going to be really disappointed because he's not going to get much, but. So then my wife calls up. She said, I thought about the Goodwill. And she called the Goodwill, and guess what? They found it. She dropped it in the parking lot. It was in a puddle. Somebody went out there, saw it, picked it up, took it in, and turned it in to the Goodwill. Isn't that marvelous? Now, in between the rain and the keys being lost, the checkbook not balancing, and all that, I was just singing like this. It's amazing what praising can do. Oh, the Lord is good to me. Mandela's saying, I'm not saying that. Sure I was. No, I was fretting. I was going, oh, no, 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 no. But then somebody found their wallet, turned it in. Everything's in there. Even the dollar and a half she had in there was in there. Yeah. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So I saw a few people after that. Everybody I saw that day, I told about those things that happened to me that day. Everybody. Well, and then, I don't know what time it was exactly, but Judy calls me and says, Charlotte's car won't start. I thought to myself, I'm pitching 1,000. I haven't gotten one thing right so far. But surely I can jump her car. I did it already. Surely I can do that. So I told Judy, tell her I'm coming. So I threw my little jumper cables in the car, and I went over there to Woodburn, found Charlotte's house. You know, they moved Charlotte's house. They did. She used to be on that old road, and now they got a whole new road over there. You have to come back from it, you know. Finally, I find her house, get over there, and Charlotte's car is in the garage. What is wrong with this woman? She's parked her car in the garage. So I said, well, let's see if we can get it to start. I had talked to Mondell. I thought maybe, and we thought about that. Rodney, I think you suggest maybe it's the battery in this little gizmo. This is her thing. This is her key thing. Now, her car. Anybody know what that is? I don't know what it is either. I thought it was a key of some kind. Obviously not, but. It's just there to play with. That's all it is. It's kind of like a switchblade, you know, in case you have somebody attack you, you can poke them in the eye. So we got our keys, and I said, Charlotte, let me just see if I can get it to start with a key. So I tried to sit down in her car. I can't get in her car. My posterior's too big. I can't get in that seat. And I surely can't get my legs around my neck. So So I said, can you get in? Let's find the, there must be a hole, right? Why would they give you something like that if there wasn't a hole that that's supposed to go in, right? So we got in there, didn't we, Charlotte? And we looked all over the place for a little hole like that. Could not find a little hole like that. Then I'm thinking, or maybe Charlotte thought of it, I don't know. Maybe, if you're having problems, look in the little service book thing. Maybe it'll tell you something. Oh, okay. So we got that out. Now, Charlotte's car's in the garage. I have to wear glasses to see stuff anymore. And my glasses are out in the car, so I can't read the little manual. So I have to go to the car and get my glasses and come back in. And then it's too dark in there. I can't. No wonder we couldn't find the hole. It's like, you know, some kind of miner or something looking for a hole in there, you know. So then we found out that you can take this little thing. This is Charlotte's little thing. She has a little button you push. Matter of fact, if she doesn't get in the car with this little thing in her lap, her car won't start. Period. So this thing said, the car thing said, pull out the little cup holder. Inside the thing, there's a little slot, and you can put it down in there. If the battery is weak in that, and it should start. So we did that finally, didn't we, Charlotte? And Charlotte hits the little button. Two little lights flickered, but it didn't start. But I'm still convinced that Charlotte's battery in the car is good, so it must be the battery in this, right? So I go over to Woodburn, to the Dollar General, I think it was, Charlotte, I can't remember, and we bought a new battery to put in this little gizmo. We came back. Who made this thing? It's burglar proof. You're supposed to be able to push on that and a ball peen hammer. Boom. I finally got it opened, put the other little battery in. We went out there. Nothing. Nothing. We have been crawling around in the dark looking for a little hole that's not there. We have put a new battery in this little thing that hasn't worked. We can't get the car out of the garage because why? It's an automatic transmission and we can't get it to do anything. The seat won't move, so it won't come out of park. So it's just stuck in the garage. Now I thought this, I didn't tell Charlotte this, let's set the place on fire and just walk off. Right? I don't know. At least we couldn't figure it out. So we had to call up Kelly Chevrolet, and they told her, okay, we'll come over sometime today, maybe, and get your car, maybe. And maybe we can fix it by tomorrow, maybe. And all that kind of good stuff. What is this thing? Haven't people heard of a key? What's wrong with these people? We couldn't get it to start, period. But Kelly Chevrolet did come over, didn't they, Charlotte? And they drug it off. Kelly Buick. And they got it to start, and they gave her a bill for $400-some. Yeah. So that was my thing. But you know what? Every one of those things turned out good. The girl had roadside assistance. Might have been nice to have found out that before we did all that other stuff, but she had it. My wife lost her wallet, but they found it. The checking thing didn't come through, but Vondale did. We couldn't get the car to start, but Kelly Chevrolet could. Or Buick. Kelly Buick. It's a Buick. It's a Buick. It's a nice car. I think we ought to trade it in for a Model T, Charlotte. We might be able to figure it out. But listen. In everything, in all things, in every situation, we're supposed to do two things: pray and praise, and praise and pray. I thought I could change a tire. Obviously not. Not on the Chevy anyway. No, I'm talking about the one that was broke down in front of the... Yeah. I'm going to get to the Buick in a minute, Al. I thought I could jump a Buick, but I can't do that either. But listen, God can. And what we need to recognize is that that's just life. That's the way it always is. If you're not, if your car don't start and you can't find, if you've got a key like this and it's got a little switchblade on it and all this kind of stuff, don't call me. Don't call me. Call up Kelly Buick. We're just going right to the source, you know. Listen, God can and does transform our lives because the woe is me thing doesn't do any good. But the praise and the prayer and the prayer and the praise does do some good. You know, God doesn't want us to go around in that kind of condition. God actually wants us to center on Him. Fortunately, He doesn't usually take a hammer like this. He just uses Buicks and Chevrolets and flat tires and checking accounts and you name it. Praise is simply esteeming a person, or in this case, God. We know that because we praise people when they do something good. We praise their virtue. We praise their accomplishments. What God wants us to do is praise Him because He is God. And He's worthy of all praise. He doesn't want us to live with guilt. God wants us to be set free from guilt. God is good. Psalms 147, verse 1. A couple more, actually. Psalms 31, verse 19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." Psalms 34, 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We don't have to wrestle with that truth. God is good. Go to Him in prayer or praise. And let Him take care of it. God doesn't want us to live in guilt. God doesn't want us to live in fear. God is greater than all our obstacles, our enemies, or any of those kind of things. Psalms 145, 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Isn't that marvelous? Over in 1 John, John says this, "For we know that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And His mercy is greater than our sin." Isn't that marvelous? God is great. God is good. Praise Him. It doesn't do any good to pull your hair out. I don't have much left. I'm starting to learn that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Friends, we have a powerful, good, and merciful God. And He wants us to experience that every moment of our lives. And when we don't, it's because we're going in another direction. Psalms 86, 5 says, For the Lord is good and ready to forgive plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon Him. Isn't that marvelous? Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find help to find in times of need." I'm really kind of thinking, if I knew what that girl's name was that had the car and the little jack that you, when you jump on it, it turns, Chevrolet ought to know that. They already got key switches that don't work. So somebody ought to tell them their little thing isn't any good either. Before somebody gets hurt. What if I'd got up on that thing and I took my 154 pounds and went and broke that little thing too? But God is good and He is great. I should choose to praise Him. Listen, let me give you a couple of examples. Over in Job's chapter 13, verse 15, Job says what? "Though He slays me, yet will I trust Him." You know, our whole life should be a life of praise. Does Hebrews 13:15 say anything? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Somebody said continually. That's right. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Continually. Not just sometimes. Not just when everything's going good. Not when the jack works right and the car starts and all that kind of stuff. Continually. Well, how do we express that? Well, over in Psalms 95, it says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord of our salvation." Now, some of you already, especially the choir people probably, are going to say, he's going to emphasize that joyful noise stuff. You're right. Jubilant song, exuberant praise, that's what that's saying. Loudly. I don't know which verse I'm supposed to be on. And I'm the last person sitting over here. One more time and I'm out. But I'm going to sing out. I have enough sense to do that, at least sing out. We think sometimes another, and I know we're all different and we have all those kind of things. And I think there's a place for everything. But, you know, pin drop stuff is no good. God wants us to worship him loudly, boldly, exuberantly, with great gusto, with a little fanfare. Yeah. You know, years and years ago, we had a guy that used to come here. His name was Josh Green. Remember, anybody remember Josh? Sure. Josh lived over here in Hacienda Village in the group home. And he was just a sweet guy. He loved to smoke a pipe. He would stand right in front of the door and smoke his pipe. I don't know how many times we'd say, "Josh, could you move around the side of the building or something like that?" But anyway, smoke a pipe right in front of the door. It was cherry blend, though. Smelled pretty good. But one day, Josh, I was riding, taking him home, and Josh says, "You know, we've got a stand-up church." I said, "Oh, cool. Stand-up church. That sounds good to me." He says, yeah. You know, he said, "You know that other girl that brings me to church sometimes?" I said, yeah. She goes over to I won't name the church, that other church sometimes, and I have to go with her because he takes me. Okay? He says, "But we've got a stand-up church. They've got a set-down church." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, I go over there. They're saying, 'Josh, sit down. Sit down. Be quiet. Sit down. Be quiet.'" I said, "Oh. Like our little children, don't we? Sit down, sit down, sit down. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet." He said, "We got a stand-up church over there at Calvary. I can stand up. I can say things to people. I can be out of order." He didn't say that. I'm just... be exuberant. Now, I know someone's going to say, "Well, you're just some kind of exhibitionist anyway. You just always try to draw attention to yourself. You bring this stupid thing in here. You got Charlotte's key or whatever, all this kind of stuff. You're just a show off." Well, it certainly can be true. Sometimes that can happen, isn't it? But you know, I think the devil often wants us to just be quiet. Sit down and be quiet. Don't praise the Lord. You know, in Psalms 19, remember we just had this on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, remember that? Jesus comes into Jerusalem and the people are welcoming him. They're taking palm branches, throwing down, and they're praising, they're saying what? "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And so all these thousands of folks are excited about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, but there's somebody that's not. Who's not? The Pharisees, guys. They say to him, "Master, rebuke thy servants." Remember that? What were the Pharisees saying? They were saying, "This is very unseemly. This is not dignified at all. This, all this hoopla, all this shouting and all this stuff, this is unbecoming of the Messiah. You need to straighten this out. Tell them to be quiet." But remember what Jesus said? He said, "If these people would be quiet, then the very rocks would shout out for joy. Friends, there's a time for us to be bold. We ought to be excited and exuberant about the things of God, not just sometimes, but all the time. One more thing. In the Old Testament, Israel was reclaimed. They reclaimed the ark. Remember that? They brought it back to Jerusalem. David was in charge of that little project. Remember they messed up? One poor guy, you know, he's going to study. Zap, he gets killed. They finally found out that the Aramaic priesthood was supposed to carry that ark on poles. And so finally they bring it in Jerusalem right. And what's the Bible say? You probably don't even know this passage. Because nobody wants you to see it. They're afraid you might do it. Because the Bible says David got so excited, he lost all his inhibitions, and he led this triumph into Jerusalem with the ark naked, praising the Lord. I didn't make that up. That's what he did. And you're saying to yourself, all right, preacher, keep your coat on. I got it. Micah, his wife, was embarrassed. Now, she was the king's daughter. She was Saul's daughter. David married her. And so she rebukes David. And what happens to her? Does anybody know? Yeah. God cursed her and she became barren. What does that tell you? God wasn't embarrassed by David. He was embarrassed by her. He wants us to be exuberant. The sinful woman who came to Simon the Pharisee's house and anointed Jesus' feet with that precious ointment and wiped his feet with her tears, kissing them as she dried Jesus' feet with her hair. Who was the one that we remember that did all the right things? The woman, not Simon. Simon should have washed Jesus' feet. That was common courtesy. Simon should have kissed him. That was common courtesy, traditional courtesy of the day. He did none of those things. She did all of those things. She should have sold that ointment. It could have been a lot of money there, given to the poor. We always come up with something, don't we? The Bible praises her. Listen, it's amazing what prayer and praising can do. But we've got to do them. God will let us jump on the jack. God will let us set up the house and go, oh no, they're going to drain my bank account. Like I said, the bank probably would have said, what's wrong with you? Why are you worried about that? We need to have an adjustment of our attitude that God is in control. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he, I think there's a verse about that, Romans 8:28. He's going to do something about that for us, his children. Isn't that marvelous? Well, you don't believe me. Charlotte, here's your keys. Let's stand.